cannot do anything without faith. We can talk about sins and the purpose of the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit, but nothing can operate between us and God without faith. You know, we live by faith every day, day by day, every day of our lives. We have to live by faith. We walk by faith and we don't walk by sight. We can't walk by what we see, because the Bible said, believe half of what you see and don't believe any of what you hear. So the natural sight is just not going to give us the true picture of spiritual things. So we have to walk by faith.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Walk Man broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bell or Spiritual Walk Man at P.O. Box 5884.
But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAY 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of St. John, chapter 6. Just for your reading while standing, I'll read just a few verses and then walk back to give the full reference. But beginning at verse 66, St. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 66. And it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Verse 67 says, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Verse 68 says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. For just a little while, continuing on with my series, I want to talk about Jesus. It's all about you.
All right.
Jesus, it's all. Can't you hear Peter saying to Jesus, when Jesus asks that question and he answers, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Couldn't you hear him saying, Jesus?
Yeah.
It's all about you. We are here. He, matter of fact, he tells him later that we have left our family and all of our possessions and everything else to follow you. It is all about you. And my brothers and sisters, can I tell you, when you forsake all for Jesus, then and only then is it all about Jesus. I want to walk back through the text, because at this time of giving, this time of celebration, this time of remembering the greatest gift God has ever given to mankind in the person of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, it's important for us to remember that this season is really all about Jesus as far as God is concerned. How we sometimes get, again, hooked and locked into the commercialism of Christmas, the time of gathering, fellowships, food, fun, and all of these things that we celebrate during this time. All of that's wonderfully good in its place, but when we forget what it's really all about, and more importantly, when we forget who it's really all about, we really miss the joy that this time brings to every believer. Christmas is but a refreshing of remembering of what God gave to this world and to us in particular who have received the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a remembrance of enjoying afresh all over again the joy we first knew when we met the Lord. It's about us understanding again and afresh and sharing with others this reality that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's really about Jesus, because as far as God is concerned, one day Jesus and Peter and James and John and Moses and Elijah were all up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus was talking to Moses and Elijah in the spirit, and Peter, James, and John were there on the mountaintop observing the Transfiguration experience, and Peter got so excited, he really didn't understand the whole thrust of the matter. So he said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here." Now he wasn't lying when he said that. It was good for him to share in, and Peter and James, James and John to share with Peter, watching Jesus talk with Moses and Elijah, whom they had only heard about but was experiencing the Transfiguration experience. It was good for them to be here. But Peter says, "Let us start a building program. Let's build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Now, let me tell you what the Bible says God says. He broke through the clouds and he said with a loud voice, "This is my beloved Son." Didn't mention nothing about Moses or Elijah. "Hear ye him." What was God saying? It's all about Jesus. I could walk through the scripture time after time, reference after reference, to show you that you don't really get God's attention till you talk about Jesus. Matter of fact, even the Holy Ghost, the other comforter who has come to do in the place of Jesus while Jesus sits in heaven making intercession for us, he, the Holy Ghost, on this side of glory stands idly by until we say the word that moves all heaven and earth. And when we say Jesus, the Holy Ghost say, "You called my master." Because he was sent here by the Father to do the bidding of Jesus, and he would bring everything that Jesus has taught us back to our remembrance when we acknowledge that it's all about Jesus. Now listen at this, because I want you to take you to back to the story. If you go back to the beginning of this chapter, you're going to see Jesus is about to work a miracle, and he asked one of the disciples, where can we buy bread? Because the crowd is thick. Matter of fact, there are over 5,000 men, not including women and children, and they have been ministered to, and the disciples wanted Jesus to send them home, but many had fainted and become weak. And Jesus said, no, we need to feed these folk. And he said, where can we buy bread? It's all in this chapter, sixth chapter. Philip said, Lord, I'm checking the money, and we don't have but 200 pennies. And that ain't going to be sufficient to give everybody a little bit. Jesus said, I ask you about how much we had. I ask you, where could we buy bread? And then notice here, because when we see the text, we see Andrew said, Jesus, I hear the question. There is a lad right out here, and he has two small fish and five barley loaves, but what is that among so many? Now, all he should have stopped right at what the boy had. He didn't
because they didn't understand it was all about Jesus. Jesus said, tell you what you do, make the men sit down in 50. And he said, bring me that little bit here. And he takes it and he puts it in his hand. And because it's all about him, he blesses it. And when he blesses it, he gives it to the disciples, who gives it to the men, who gives it to their family. And they all start eating. And when it was all said and done, they picked up 12 baskets full. When y'all catch that, y'all gonna shout. Started off with 2 small fish, 5 barley loaves, pick up 12 baskets after everybody has eaten, fed over 5,000 men, not including women and children. I'm trying to tell you, it wouldn't have happened if it weren't for, yeah, Jesus. Now, because of this, the text says that he noticed there were some brothers who were going to try and take him by force and make him king. So Jesus said, no, it's not my time. And when they went to take him, Jesus disappeared out of their sight, and he moved to another part across the sea of the country. So now it gets dark, and the disciples get in the boat, and they start going over there. Well, the people are watching where the disciples are going because they did not see Jesus anymore, and they make their way across the lake, and when they get over there, they discover Jesus again. And Jesus is there, and I want to pick up, if you don't mind. Because Jesus is dealing with them while they are looking at him in the flesh and not in the spirit. Yeah. Now look again, because I want you to see this. And it says, verse 29, Jesus said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Verse 30 says, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Now keep in mind, now Jesus is speaking spiritually and they are speaking naturally. And they are not yet connected because he's on a higher level and they're still on the lower level. Verse 35 says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh down or cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe me not. Whosoever shall come to me shall never hunger. Why? Because I am the word. I am the meat. I am the bread. I am the substance. Now listen at this. Now that's just if you come. But he says, if you believe, you'll never be thirsty. Now, what was he talking about there? He was talking about the giving of the Holy Ghost, who would, again, be on the inside of them, in the innermost parts of their being, the Holy Ghost flowing in them, giving them as living water, a refreshing meeting and ministering to all of their needs. The complete package is found in Jesus Christ. Now, notice here, again, what the word says, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He says, in essence, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Listen at Jesus making it plain. Over and over again, it's all about Jesus. Amen, amen. They're still not grasping because they're caught up in their own ideology and their own religion and their own theology, and they don't see Jesus as the Son of God, the bread of life. They do not see Jesus as the one that God had sent to mankind. Verse 41 says, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Verse 42 says, and they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Now, they had half of the story right. They knew his earthly parents, but they didn't know his heavenly father. They really didn't know that Joseph was his stepfather. Y'all gonna catch that on your way home. That God was his heavenly father. They didn't really know that. So this is why they're murmuring. Verse 43 says, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Let me tell it to you again. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. Oh, yeah. And are dead. Listen, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Now, he was not talking about physically. He was talking about spiritually. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Yes, Lord. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Again, he was not talking literal. He was talking figuratively. He was talking in the spiritual realm, and they still yet didn't comprehend it. Notice what the Bible says. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, now he ordained many disciples, the 12 are the chosen and handpicked disciples, but he authorized and gave birth to many disciples. The Bible says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Now, understand now, they're his disciples. They're his followers. They should have gotten the bigger picture locked in their spirit. But it just go to show you that everybody that's around you ain't necessarily with you. And they followed him and were in connection with him, but they really didn't know him. And because they really didn't know him, they didn't understand when he was ready to take them to another level, ready to bring them to a deeper place of understanding than they had ever comprehended before. They're still dealing with the tradition of Moses, and they're still dealing with the tradition of Abraham, and they're not understanding that Jesus has come to fulfill the law. He has come to do what no other prophet prophet before or since him could ever do. He was the Savior of the world, the promised one, the Christ, the anointed one, the one God sent to bring man back into a right relationship and fellowship with him. He was the only one who could do what he was about to do. And in doing this, they could not take it to another level because they were locked in the natural. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, you will never understand spiritual things when you try to understand them with your natural mind. If you're going to understand spiritual things, you're going to have a spiritual mind. And the only way that your spirit can be opened up to new understanding and revelation and understanding and enlightenment is if the Holy Ghost comes and bring illumination to your spirit, which then brings illumination to your understanding, which then brings understanding to your mind, which makes it plain and simple for you to practice, which makes it difficult for you to go on another level if you ain't got the Spirit. The Spirit of God. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. He says, does this offend you?
All right.
I see the way you're looking at me.
Yeah.
Does this offend you?
Yeah.
They thought Jesus was instituting some new religion, some cannibalistic religion where they ate his flesh. And I want you to see how Jesus deals with this. What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Listen at this. It's the Spirit that brings to life. It's the Spirit that makes alive. It's the Spirit that energizes. Listen at this. The flesh profiteth
nothing.
If you literally came and took a bite out of my flesh, You wouldn't profit from that. That's not what I'm telling you. He say, man, this is on a spiritual level. This is on a whole new level. I'm talking about spiritual, not natural here. I'm not talking about you literally coming, biting my flesh and drinking my blood. It's a spiritual thing. Listen again what he says. He says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now listen to what Jesus is telling them now. He said, take your minds up to another level. Understand, focus in on what I'm telling you. This thing is not about a natural thing. It's not about a physical thing, a flesh thing. I'm taking you to a spiritual realm. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to understand that it is the Holy Ghost. It is the Spirit of God that makes this truth come alive. It is the Spirit of God that brings you to that place of understanding. You can't understand spiritual things without the Spirit bringing you revelation, understanding, illumination. So understand what I'm trying to tell you. You need to take it to another level.
Amen.
See, that's why a lot of saints don't get excited about the things about Jesus, because they're still trying to understand Jesus on a natural level. You see, when he don't show up when you want him to show up, when he don't open doors when you want him to open doors, when he don't do the stuff you want him to do, you think he ain't the Jesus of the Bible. But what you don't understand, he doesn't work according to your time schedule. He's not working according to your agenda. If you really understood him, you would surrender to him and say, thy will be done, not mine. And when you seek him, listen at this, and come into the fullness of what he has for you, you will say, Lord, any way you bless me. Because can I tell you, his blessings and what he has for me are so much greater than what I have for myself. Matter of fact, one writer said, I can't even imagine, I can't even think, I can't even ask him for what he has. He's got so much abundant, so much more exceeding. Listen, what he's got for me is better than I could ever want for myself. But I'm too simple-minded, too narrow-minded to understand that God's got my best interest at hand. And so I want what I want. And how many of you wanted some stuff and after you got what you wanted, didn't want what you wanted? How many of you been going, you know, Piccadilly's, any of them restaurants, you pick out, it look good, stuff look good. Ooh, I'm gonna get some of this here. Oh, that look good. That look good. Uh-huh, that look good. And how many of us know it looked good, but it didn't taste about nothing? And you say, now that's a shame, because that's deception. That looked like it ought to be good. I know I ain't talking to you super spiritual folk, but listen at this. If I get out of the flesh, and get in the spirit. It may not look like it ought to look in the flesh, but if it is what God has for me in the spirit, I couldn't find better if I tried. Y'all still ain't, you ain't getting this. Look at, because I want you to see what he's trying to help him understand. He tells them in verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. He said, you'll never get to another spiritual level because you've got to believe in order to get to the next level, and you won't ever believe. Because it's a faith thing. See, you're going around on what you can see. You're going on what you can feel. You're going on what you know. And I got to tell you, all of that's limited. And what you don't understand is if you just believe. See, you'll never receive till you believe, but that's something else. You will never conceive what God has for you until you believe. And it gives birth to conception of the best that's yet to come. But you've got to believe. Now listen at this, because you're going to see later Peter uses some of that same verbiage that Jesus uses. Look again at what the Bible says. But there are some of you that believe not. Now just help your neighbor right now. Turn to them and say, do you believe? Turn to your other neighbor and say, do you believe? Let's provoke them to believing this morning. Because some of them look like they don't believe. They sitting there like they don't believe. Trying to help you to have a Merry Christmas. You ain't gonna have it unless you believe. Listen at this. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Now Jesus was saying, look, I just want you to know for the record, you ain't fooling me. I know you. I not only know who does not believe, but I know who will betray me. Look at the text says, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. So he's making clear that he understands the reason why many of you can't do no better is because God knew and I know that you don't believe nor do you want what I have for you. So those who have believed in their heart, God has literally attached his ability to draw them to me. And because God has done that, touching with their belief system, he then is able to draw them to me. And I know the only reason why you are not drawn to me is because you don't believe in me. Now listen to this, because this is profound. The Bible says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Many. That says to me and suggests to me that there will always be people who will be in the crowd, but not in the Christ. And the folk who are in the Christ, who happens to be in the crowd, will always be drawn to a higher level. And that's why it doesn't bother me as much as it used to bother me when folk could sit there under the word and let it pass through their hearing and don't accept, receive, believe, or change by the effect of what they heard. It makes me know by the word of God that they cannot receive it because they do not believe it, and there is no attraction to what is real.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0000. 225-9277. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.